You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Christopher Griffiths was playing in bands by the time he was 13. After attending the Berklee College of Music, he moved to Nashville at the age of 22 to begin a career professionally. His latest music finds him in the Americana genre, and his new single, Take On You, is set to release on October 29th. Proceeds from this song will be donated to the LA Animal Rescue Center. Christopher is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Christopher, welcome to the podcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad we could spend a few minutes together and talk about your music and your new music and what you got going on in your current state of your music career. You are in Tennessee, Nashville, right?
Yeah, I live a little south of Nashville. I live out in Murfreesboro, which it's like Diet Nashville.
Right, okay. That's cool. How long has Nashville been home for you? I don't think you grew up there, did you?
I did not. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. But I grew up all over Michigan, really. But I've been in Nashville like 17 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 17 years, wow.
Cool. Most of it as a professional musician from some aspect or another?
Oh, I think I sold cars for maybe 2 weeks when I first moved here. but yeah, after that, pretty much I wanted to do something with some honor and principle, so I became a musician.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
I've been a sideman for a lot of bands. I'm a producer and songwriter, and I think we all are in one aspect or another, But yeah, that's how I pay the bills.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to diversify, especially in today's climate with everybody scrambling to try to find something else to do while we're waiting on the opportunity to get back outdoors.
Absolutely. It was so heartbreaking seeing so many of my friends who kind of had to give up the ghost because, you know, touring is their life. Touring is everything they do. And to have a whole year just pulled out of under you and really not have the support system you need to bear the storm. You know, they had to go back home, and it's been kind of sad, but everything's got a silver lining. There's a lot of people who adjusted and are coming out with new and interesting things.
Yeah. And we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'm glad that you've been able to sustain it. So many listeners don't appreciate how difficult it's been for musicians to find a way to hang on to what they love to do.
I saw a governor of some state or a mayor somewhere saying, well, musicians just need to find other jobs.
Yeah.
And I think that understates, he's entitled to his opinion, as wrong as it is. I think it really understates how much dedication it really takes to do this on a professional level.
Right, right.
Because you're talking about an amount of practice per week that would be a job for someone else before you even do your job.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
And I'm not trying to make my career over important, but I think they miss the fact that, okay, I'm just going to adjust to be an accountant now.
Right.
That would be, for anyone else, that would be insane. If I took an accountant and said, here's a violin, you're a violinist now. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would be impossible.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Whatever you guys do in the studio or whatever shows up on the stage,
is kind of the end product of all the effort and hard work that you've put in. And most people, you know, they go to a concert or a festival and they get to enjoy all the good music, but they don't go home with you. They don't see what happens the other 6.5 days of the week.
Well, especially in a lot of the music you cover, you know, you cover a lot of bluegrass artists who have like this very, I'm not disciplined enough to be a bluegrass artist. I like listening to it. Yeah. If you pulled me on stage, I think I would just start blushing. like, their thing is so disciplined, and even their image and the way they sell themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They live bluegrass.
Right.
I just write the rock and roll I write. They live bluegrass.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going into like a law firm or a We Sell Gold shop and meet some guy in his, you know, his bolo and his bluegrass outfit, like, hey, here's selling an insurance plan.
Yeah, right. It doesn't translate, does it?
It's a lifestyle
yeah,
for a lot of
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, that kind of gives us a little segue into your career and your life. I read in some of the press notes that you actually were in bands. One of them said the age of 9, the other 13, but whatever. That's a pretty young age to be pursuing something that you know that you want to do.
Oh, yeah. So... that's funny, that's different things. I think when I was 9, I had a band with my brother, and we would play shows in my house because my mom set up this whole kind of music basement area.
Okay.
Because her theory on it was, if we're loud, she knows where we are.
Right.
It's a quiet kid you got to really worry about.
Right, yeah.
So my brother and I had a band, because he's a drummer. He's in everything. He's a Renaissance man, but drummer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then... him and I joined other bands. So at 13, I started getting paid to play.
Okay. That's still pretty young.
So that's
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan's got this whole bar band culture where, like, the nephew of the uncle who plays in the band goes and sits in with the band and becomes the drummer.
Okay.
Like, they have a journeyman hand-me-down bar band scene.
Okay.
And it's always really interesting. It's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of khakis and headset microphones.
That's cool. What was the, do you recall the breakout moment for you when it was like, okay, this is me, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it comes in stages, it comes in waves. I heard Jack Nicholson say once, he was an actor for 3 years before he realized he was going to be an actor. And, I think I was probably at college. I went to a music school, and I think I was there, and I got a call from a friend in Nashville, Natalie Stovall, who's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I need a bass player for a month. I'll pay you this much money, come to Nashville. And so I got here with nothing to do but play her gig. I had a place to stay,
wow.
I had food to eat, money in my pocket. And I started just walking around and playing with people and just sitting in and meeting people and really being part of a community.
Uh-huh.
And it just occurred to me, like, I don't really want anything else. I just want to do this, and I want to set up whatever I have to set up in my life that will just allow me to do this with every waking minute. And I always feel like if you dedicate yourself hard like that, money will take care of itself.
Mm. Mm.
You know, as long as you don't develop some crazy Pokemon gambling addiction,
right?
The money will come. You just have to do whatever you do the best, as hard as you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of the plan. Or lack thereof.
And so I take it you basically stayed once you made that trip?
So not quite. I drove back to Michigan and tried to work up some more funds to make the move.
Uh-huh.
And then, worked that little tiny scene up there. And then I drove back down to Nashville and saved my money. And I think I slept in my car for like 2 months.
Wow.
And then I ended up moving into one of those band houses that you see in the movies, like 11 guys living in a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah, right.
And there's knives sticking out of the wall and whiskey bottles everywhere.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I think they just burned the place down when we left. I think they really just
wow.
had an arson. But, it just kind of worked out of that. And that was great, too, because living with nothing but musicians, there's always gigs. Everyone always needs a bass player.
Yeah.
A guitar player. But, yeah, you know, so then I came down for serious, and I made a run at it, you know, and just started sleeping in my car, and now I own a house, and I did it all with music.
Wow, that's really cool. Have you always been fond of the Americana rock, folk rock kind of scene?
I mean, yeah. I feel like Americana is a catch-all.
Sure.
For those of us who were betrayed by our mainstream genres.
Right, with a few exceptions, but yes, right, especially in the roots, folk, country, folk rock, string kind of, yes, for sure.
Right, because you'll see, like, you know, you'll go to Americana Fest or whatever, and Lily Hyatt will be there, and Shovels of Rope will be there,
mm-hmm.
but then you'll see guys who like Butch Walker will be there, or I play bass for Will Hogue. I don't know if I told you that.
Okay, awesome.
We're strongly rock and roll, and yeah. the guy after us will be a string band.
Yeah,
so it'll be Alejandro Escobedo with his big horns on stage. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you gotta love Americana because we're basically just a village of misfit toys. You really love what we do.
Sure, big suit. You know, yeah.
No one's jumping into Americana trying to break onto MTV or whatever people watch now.
right, yeah. No, but it is one of the, at least it was until a lot of this craziness, one of the fastest growing genres of music, because I think even the listeners appreciate that the mainstream outlets are manipulated, you know, and at least in the Americana roots, grass, folk rock kind of scene, you can still call your own shots for the most part.
Absolutely. I think people don't get enough credit for their ears. I think they're ready for a non-narrative form of music. And Americana just is so open-armed and fairly anti-competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a community
mm-hmm.
that even really super different acts, you know, will all come together. And I think people really dig that. And you can just see it on their faces.
Yeah.
That no one's looking at their cell phones, no one's shouting Freebird. People really listen at Americana
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, for sure. So you've got a new project, and the single is on its way out in a couple weeks, Take On You. Is that part of an album that's on the way as well?
Yeah, it's my tribute to AHA. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought that. When I went to listen to it, I thought, well, is this a remake? Or?
Well, it's funny because I wrote the song and I recorded it. And one day when I was typing it to someone, I wrote Take On Me instead of Take On You. And I went, oh, shoot. Well, you know what?
Right,
it'll be okay.
Right. Well, I was even a little further confused is not the right word, but I was listening to some of the tracks from your previous record, which was more of a pop feel, and I thought, well, okay, maybe we are going here with the AHA thing. So,
I don't have a record label or anything, so I don't have to conform. Speaking of narrated stories, I don't have to curate what I play. When I made that record, I was really into my synths and keyboards, and I was learning how to use recording software. So I thought it'd be fun to make something that kind of had a Tame Impala sound.
Mm-hmm. Sort of sound like Squeeze a little bit.
Damn, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Squeeze, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
Like an MGMT kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought when the first couple notes I guess it was the first track, like, oh, this kind of got a Squeeze feel to it. So, yeah.
I always go into things with these, like, Portis head kind of ambitions, but it comes out of Garage Band Depeche Mode, but it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, it's my tribute to Lucky Star by Madonna.
Okay.
But no, so the new one, that song was inspired by my sister, who works with the LA Animal Rescue.
Right, okay.
And she had kind of called me and was talking about her job and talking about music, and she's an actor. She's in those Geico commercials. She's the mom whose ninja son calls her, and she talks about the dad fighting squirrels in the attic.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. My, okay, that's cool.
That's my sister.
Yeah, awesome.
So we were just talking about all her volunteer work, and I got really inspired by her, so I wrote this song, and this next album will be more acoustic guitar
mm-hmm.
and will mm-hmm. be a lot more introspective, I think.
I read in some of the notes where some of your influences were Dylan and Springsteen, and I felt that Springsteen vibe a little bit in the Take On You song that you did just kind of had that street singer songwriter have a purpose with your words kind of feel to it. So it definitely definitely kind of falls under this Americana umbrella that we're talking about.
Oh yeah, well Bruce is so good at that. When you get later in his career, when someone apparently bought him a bunch of Hank Jr. records, or had Hank Sr. records, because, you know, you got like Born to Run, and it's just Van Morrison, just 9,000 words, and you can only make out a third of them.
Right.
But you know he's impassioned. You know he's passionate.
Right.
You're not exactly sure what he's talking about.
Right.
You know he means it. And then you get to something like Born in the USA, and he's just, it's just one, and it's, than the space for you to take it in. You know, some downtown pain where he, like, you know, he ran, it wasn't there, he works at the college, and just, but something like, I really did want to just say something that people and identify with it.
Yeah.
And I think that worked. I hope it worked.
Yeah, sure. No, I think it did. Yeah. So that's the, and I wasn't clear. That's the first single, but is there more? Are you still putting the rest of
yeah.
Okay, so there's an album in the works.
Yeah, so when this COVID thing happened, everything got canceled. You know, Will Hogue had a new record out. We were going to go tour with some people, and that all got squashed. So I've had nothing to do but sit in my house and write songs.
Sweet, okay.
So I have a couple EPs on the way, but this next one's going to be called Lime Lake Road, which is where I grew up, and it's very introspective. It's going to talk a little bit about my my father's death, and the there will be a little bit of that good American rock and roll boy getting out of a small town kind of stuff.
Awesome.
But I really, I'm, you know, the last record was very much a record to dance to or to party to. And with this one, I just want to throw all the way the other direction and just try to be as intimate and raw with the listener as I can be. And I think it's going to work.
Yeah.
This will definitely be the happiest song on the record.
Okay.
Sorry.
Will you, you mentioned you know, playing with Will. Will you be able to do some solo stuff to support the music when we can get back out on the road? Is that in the works?
Yeah, I've been having conversations with other singer-songwriters, and we're trying to come up with unique ways to do this in a masked world. And so, yeah, I'll probably go out and tour a little bit, and I'll play around Nashville. I'll probably do some online shows. I have an idea to tour nothing but breweries, because I feel like
people
who go to unique microbreweries.
Yeah.
Tend to have really good record collection.
Yeah.
And then they and they also have a little extra money on them to be eating and drinking at those places.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll buy my album.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call for sure. Will you solo or will you try to gather a few other musicians to go with you?
I'd probably get some friends to go with me. You know, I had I can't name names right now, but I'm producing a couple records too, so maybe it'll end up being a service to myself to take on someone who I've actually wrote with and worked with.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And take them out with me.
Yeah. Do you have a title?
Well, I'll go out then.
Do you have a title for the record? Have you gotten that far?
Yeah, I'm going to call it Lime Lake Road, and that's the name of the next song that's coming out too.
Okay.
And that song is really unhappy, but it's about some of that record is about when my father died, he had cancer, and it was brain cancer, so he was not really able to take care of himself, but he comes from an older generation that doesn't share their problems with the world,
right?
You know, and so he had gotten pretty far along at a point, and that really bothered me, that I didn't know as his son, I wasn't really able to step in and give him the care he needed when he couldn't take care of himself.
Yeah.
So a lot of this record is about some things like that. And I've been trying to just write with purpose, you know, this, the Take On You song, I have five animals. I've rescued five animals.
Cool.
My wife says I have three cats with four eyes between all of them. And, you know, trying to purposely say, hey, it's good to care. It's good to take care of someone.
Right. Sure.
Take someone's weight upon yourself. you know, helps you grow.
Right.
So I'm just, with each song, I'm trying to build this this music of principle, this music that, that means something, which I think falls under the Americana label that we sure. talk about things that matter.
Yeah, yeah. When you mentioned having a lot of time to write, do you just, everybody's songwriting concept is a little different. I wonder, when are you writing because you, these are the things that are coming to you and this is what you feel, or are you kind of writing with a theme and an album vision in mind when you do that?
Generally what happens is I force myself to write every day. Even if it's just a pancake commercial or something trivial, even if it's just something to make my nephews laugh, I try to write something every day. But what happens is, as I gather them together, certain songs just kind of fall together. And so on the last record, I wrote a lot of things with something like Madonna in mind. Or, you know, I was listening to a lot of St. Vincent, I don't know, Genesis. With that in mind, that record, those songs kind of fell together and became this synth, my friend calls it alt pop, but this synthy kind of dancey record.
Yeah.
So these songs all kind of fall together, and it's my John Hyatt whatever thing. So, like, these all kind of fall over here, so we're going to put all these songs together.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of writers work that way. You know, to sit down and write a concept, and then to write 12 songs that match the concept, you know, I'll leave that at 6. It seems really hard. Or like The Who. Like, Peter Townsend sitting down and going, okay, here's the 19 tracks to Tommy. I need to tell this story. That seems way more difficult than to just look at my catalog and go, oh, look, those 4 songs really are brothers.
Yeah.
You should put them in the same car.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I would think the other would be a whole lot more difficult.
It seems it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot more deep thought to, with intention. Not that songwriters don't have intention, but I think it almost clamps, or it feels like to me it would clamp a little bit creativity, you know, when you're trying to force it into a particular box.
Oh, yeah, well, sometimes in this creative business, the best plan is no plan. Because you get to hear what you really think.
Right.
Don't try to
curate
it, as we said. And yeah, but sometimes songs go together. I mean, I'm not knocking the other thing. I wish I could write Hamilton. That seems amazing. Blows me away, but I just don't think like that.
Yeah. Well, the new single, Take On You, is officially out on the 29th. Is that right?
Yeah, there'll be a video, too.
Okay, cool. And that'll be on all the outlets. How can people get in touch and get ready to hear this new music as it starts coming out?
Oh, yeah, it'll be on all your streaming outlets, the Apples and the Spotify's and the Googles. And the, actually, I don't know if Google's still doing it. I think they got out of the business. But Amazon or else you can get it. And, yeah, and then I'll have a record, I don't know, maybe first of the year, maybe around Christmas.
Okay. And what is your website?
Boy, that's a good question. I wish my wife was here. We should ask her. Hey,
well, I have it. Christopher Griffiths Music is what I have on my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
ChristopherGriffithsMusic.com. That's what it is.
Okay. Good.
You can't keep everything, you know. You're going to lose marbles somewhere.
Right. That's right. Yeah. It just happens. Well, I appreciate it, Christopher. Thank you for sharing your stories with us all the cool tunes you're creating, and certainly wish you the best with it.
No problem. You know, I have a home studio and nothing but time, so I'm sure we'll have other things to talk about.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Thank you.
All right, no problem.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.